Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome back to Film Fatales. Our first week doing something a little bit different. Instead of looking at one actor for the whole month, we are going to be looking at four different actors this month to celebrate spooky season.
Spooky.
I hate when people say spooky season.
It's going to get spooky, ooky, and kooky.
Yeah, so we're looking at different Scream Queens each week. And who are we looking at first, Jeff?
We're looking at Janet Leigh, I believe, in the 1960 cult favorite classic Hitchcockian movie Psycho.
Hitchcockian.
Hitchcockian, which is something that I've never thought I would say. That sounds dirty. We're talking about Psycho. 60s. I think it was before my parents' time. It was like... it was still black and white, which I think it's still like in that era. They're slowly.
It could have been color. I was reading that he chose to do it in black and white because he said he thought it would be too gory in color.
That this movie is not gory at all.
you have to think about the time though.
Like back then, the perception was like pretty like this is pretty forward thinking. It was like really like out there, outlandish even. I feel like the black and white only, actually adds kind of like a charm to it, like in retrospect. But let's talk about what the movie is about. Do you want to talk about what the movie is about?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of going to be an interesting conversation because Janet Leigh is only in the movie for like 20 minutes. But obviously,
okay,
Psycho...
Let's pivot. Maybe Norman Bates is the actor. It's the real Scream Queen that we're talking about.
No, because we need to get into that a little bit in this episode.
Yeah. Right.
No, Janet Leigh is so iconic. Her shower scene is obviously one of the most famous scenes in movie history. And this is credited as being the first slasher film of all time, which obviously from like a modern perspective, this is really not what I consider a slasher film.
It's like a prototype, really.
It changed the game for like for horror movies. Like it really put horror kind of on the map. And there were horror movies before this, but this was just a pretty pivotal one. Totally. Anyways, it's about that bitch, what's her name? Marion Crane. And she steals money, whatever. She steals money. She's driving somewhere. I don't remember the details. She's driving
she's
to like her boyfriend's
Sam.
House or something. Yeah, she steals money from work and she's driving to Sam's house, whatever. She falls asleep behind the wheel, whatever. There's like this tense moment with a cop, whatever. Eventually, she stops for the night at Bates Motel, where she meets Norman Bates. They have dinner, and I really like the scene when they have dinner. And then she's showering, and she's stabbed.
She's dead.
She's killed.
No blood. No gash.
Which there I'm was like, blood.
It was like fucking diluted Ribena or something. Do you know Ribena?
There was blood.
Like, girl, please, can you at least show me like a chopped limb or something? I mean, back then, like production.
Can you imagine? Was even just taboo to like. It was taboo to show Marion Crane and Sam like intimately interact, and it was also taboo to have like this scene with this naked woman in the shower. Like all of that. Like this movie was censored in a lot of places when it came out.
Right. Like I think Hays Code is something that we kind of have this final like movie that we're going to talk about because like I'm just googling right now from the 1934 to 1968 it's called Hays Code. It's it was this self-imposed industry set of guidelines for motion pictures which prohibited a lot of like suggested nudity, graphic and violence, sexual persuasion and rape. So like I think it like this movie was outlandish in the way of like talking about the subject, which is like murder, but visually I can only imagine it was pretty out there in terms of like, oh, I can just go to like a mainstream theater and just watch a movie like this.
I want to talk, I think we should maybe talk about Janet Leigh's performance because it is short and sweet, and then we could talk about some bigger things in the film.
Are there some key scenes that that you can think of? Like one for me was that she's driving. She's like driving against the rain, and she's like faking it. Like this was before like green screen, right? Like this is like
Didn't they have like a thing, or was it really, really outside?
they were playing like footage at the back of the car. So as the audience were looking at Marion, like face on, like we're so like she was like scared, like she was giving you angles, she was giving you like scared and confused, which I think was like so silly, but so like the lighting on her was perfect, like from like the left, from the left, and like half of her right face is like kind of like obscured and like kind of shat in the shadow, which I don't think really should be the natural lighting when you're driving at night, but it was kind of artistic choice to like show her like that. But I don't know, I just find it kind of funny to like to have her like acting kind of kooky and silly.
What do you think of her actual scream, of the famous scream in the shower?
I think it's like solidified her as like this bar of, you know, like not just femininity. I think it's kind of troublesome to like talk about, oh, it's it like what is actually the performance? Like I'm having trouble like having watched all of these modern actresses or actors. Like I kind of find her performance a little bit nondescript. It's like anybody can kind of act her role.
You
She doesn't really give
think?
me, I don't think so. She's giving like the blonde, like the not like a dumb blonde, but like I don't know. Am I being harsh? I don't know.
I think that, I mean, she was nominated for an Oscar, and she won the Golden Globe for this movie, which is pretty iconic. She's only in it for such a short period of time. I wonder if this is the, because there's so many like shows and movies now where, and books too, where like you are following this one character and you think that they're like the protagonist of the whole thing, and then they die really quick, and it's like a little bit
Right.
surprising. Like I remember watching this for the first time when I was a kid, and I was so confused. Like I was like, sorry,
It
what?
was a little
Is it over?
convoluted.
Anyways, I think her scream is, I was expecting when I went back to watch this after so long that like her scream would be corny. I actually don't think it's corny, and I think a lot of things about older films look corny in like a modern perspective, but I think her scream holds up. I think it's better than a
Right.
lot of screams we see today. Like I don't think she
We
overdid it. There was like the perfect amount of pause when she like realized what was about to happen before she screamed. Like it was good.
I feel like some of the screams in the shower, she was like getting louder and louder as she was getting stabbed. I'm like, aren't
Yeah,
you
I
supposed to
mean,
be dying?
I
Or
think that I'm talking her like initial, she sees the shadowy
the
figure, she
shadow,
sees the
yeah.
knife. There's like a brief pause before she realizes what's about to happen, and then she screams. Did the
You think
screaming
she's
go on for a little longer than it
Yeah.
probably needed to? Sure.
Do you think she was screaming because she recognizes Norman, or was she screaming at both the knife itself?
Well, yeah, so I mean, obviously, most people listening know that Norman dresses up as his mother. Norman killed his mother, right? And then now
Yes,
Norman
Kathy Bates.
keeps her skeleton and dresses up as her, which we don't find out until the very end. Like we don't see Norman in full drag until the
Full
very end.
drag. Oh my gosh.
anyways,
Fugish. She's beat.
I think she was screaming a combination of seeing Norman that way, like recognizing Norman and seeing the giant fucking knife coming at her, which I think again you see because then like we learn who's the bitch that actually is, it's her, it's Marion Crane's sister, right? I don't know her name. Isn't it kind of like, I kind of feel bad for her that like no one gives a shit about her. Like
No one gives a
everyone just
like
talks about Janet Leigh and Marion Crane, and like this her the person who plays her sister like carried so much more of the film on her back. I don't
like
know her name.
at the end of the movie when the like the investigator was like, your sister's dead, and none of the characters say anything. It's like, oh, she deserves it. It's what she deserves. I'm
Poor
like,
Marion.
poor Marion, like that bitch deserves some like some roses at least. Like
Yeah.
give her a break.
Who played her sister?
Like t a second I thought it was like a whole like twins trope. It's like, oh, they're played by the same actress, but they're obviously not. They just look very similar.
Vera Miles.
Fury. Is it the character's name or is it the
No, the character's name is Lila. The actress name
Lila?
is Vera Miles, and she hasn't been in anything since 1995. Oh, is that because she died? No, she's still alive. She just
She's still alive.
retired.
Good for her.
She's 94.
Oh, hey. What do you think about the shower scene as a whole? Like, it's like an icon. Like, why does it work? Like,
I mean, like, I'm not so well versed in the genre of horror. I was actually really big into Hitchcock films when I was a kid. I had a whole box set.
okay.
And my favorite was Rear Window, if anyone's wondering.
Of course.
And then I was really into the Saw films, which is so funny. Anyways, I had a box set of that too. Anyways, I just think I don't know what came before this film, but I just think it must be one of the first instances of building that kind of like tension and building that sort of suspense with the music, and then the big climax, which at the time was probably terrifying. I mean, even now watching this film, I was scared at times. But I think a lot of that comes from the fact that like Norman Bates' smile at the end of this film is like something that
Oh
used to give
no.
me like nightmares as a child after I watched this movie. And it honestly is still freaky as fuck.
It's freaky. It's like the whole, they even call it, right? Like, I'm a little jumping forward. Like, the final staring was like the Kubrick stare. It's like this, like, focusing on one character on screen and having the camera kind of drawn out. But the camera kicks to kind of focus on. It's like happening on Clockwork Orange. But I think it's also happening
And he
on
looks right at
Shining
us.
too.
Like,
It's creepy. We'll talk about the actor who plays Norman Bates in a second.
Oh, wait, let me just say the shower scene. I was reading that Hitchcock originally wanted no music. Like, he wanted it to be silent and just the sound of the shower running. Which almost feels like how it would be done if it were made today.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But
It's
I
like
think the
this.
music works. I think the music.
I have to listen back to what the music sounds like. It's like this, like the creepy, scary movie, like movie. Were they playing movie?
Yeah.
Were they playing music?
In
I
what?
think so. In the shower scene.
There was music in it.
Right. I didn't pay a lot of attention to it, because I was kind of drawn to like the whole visual language of it. I think there's something there about Hitchcock notion about like public and private. Like, it's also happening on like Rear Window. Like, I think he's interested in exploring those themes. Like, someone, a character like Marion, is in her most vulnerable state and having something so sinister, I'm putting on quotes, but like coming and attack her and like
Like pulling back the curtain.
pulling back the curtain and revealing like what I feel like Norman Bates truly desires. Kind of tapping into like the American like back then, like this new concept of like public identity and like super entertainment. But it's a whole stretch that I'm trying to just
No, I think
pontificate.
you're on to something. I think pulling back the curtain is probably a theme you could string along throughout Psycho, and I think that even comes at the end when the curtain is pulled back on like what Norman has been doing and who Norman is, right? Which we should get into. And this whole idea of pulling back the curtain, I think, is something that is seen in horror movies a lot. Like, I'm thinking of, I don't know, like in horror films, something sinister is going on. You don't really know what it is until the end. Like, this whole idea of a sinister reveal is something that is in most horror movies, I would argue. Like, the
I did
bad guy is
some
revealed, the villain is revealed, whatever, right?
right. Like, I mean, back then, I think just looking some at the research, one YouTube video really, like a lot of the horror before the 60s were like supernatural. They're like super expressionistic, talking about like Wolverine vampires, zombies, and etc. I feel like 50s and 60s was like such a switch in terms of the horror genre and turn it into the everyday, like the stalker, the murderer, the psycho, for example, this film, right? I think it definitely taps into this like larger picture of like America film, American entertainment, and like this interesting turn into people, which I think it's like an interesting turn. I think that like for example, this movie talks about sexuality before, like when what we come to know as like the discussion and discourse around sexuality. It's one of the films that kind of like puts it really front and center in terms of that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think this film speaks to, like, I obviously didn't read anything about horror movies before this, but if you're saying it's about the supernatural, I almost feel like this film, I was reading that it came at a time where, like, fear in America of, like, the other, like,
right.
Other identities was reaching a height.
Yeah, it's during the Cold War, not the Cold War. It's like this anti-the othering sentiment.
Right. So this film does that with, I mean, obviously with gender roles and gender expression. I mean, Norman Bates is often cited now as like a trans woman, which...
Do you think that makes sense, though? I don't think that's fair.
I don't know if it's fair or even... like right to put the label of trans woman on Norman Bates, maybe?
I don't think so, because it's kind of revisionist.
Yeah, exactly. Like Norman Bates obviously has a fucking Oedipus complex with his mother, like that's clear, like Norman Bates. But like it also is a problem to me to like there's this clearly deranged killer,
right,
who has, you know, very deep-seated problems with his mother and dresses up as her to murder people. And we're saying, like, we're putting validity
this is a trans woman.
In that being a trans woman. I'm like, what?
Like, that's the only thing you can draw out from. I'm like, girl, please.
Right. And so, like, you see that. I mean, like, this film was really, is obviously credited as one of the first instances where, like, breaking gender roles is seen as, like, or is portrayed as, like, a horrific deranged thing.
Right.
Which you see again, I can't think of many examples, but one example that I always think of is Silence of the Lambs. But the difference is like, this is like, how do I explain it? I don't know. There's a difference between Buffalo Bill and Silence of the Lambs and Norman Bates and Psycho. I don't know how to verbalize it.
I think like, especially with like, it's a good example that you kind of draw from. I think in Silence of the Lambs, we have Clarice who is an FBI agent who has like a specialty with like psychotherapy, psychoanalysis. Like she's able to like, kind of put that piece into that film,
right.
And like around Silence of the Lamb, we like I feel like back then America was in a much of a better place understanding like sexuality, like post liberation or like in the 80s or 90s, right? Like America was a different stage that time in terms of understanding sexuality.
Still not good,
but I'm not saying it's probably a little bit better. I think Hitchcock tried to think of a murderer first and then try to think of like, oh, what is the twist? And the twist was that, oh, he likes to dress up as his mother. Like,
right.
Okay. Versus I feel like Silence of the Lambs really kind of grounds that case around that, like the whole, like the plot itself.
Right.
Which I think is much grander in Silence of the Lambs. But yeah, why don't we talk about Silence of the Lambs? Sorry. That doesn't really qualify as a scream, I want to say scream, scream queen performance. But I feel like Psycho really tried to be ambitious, but because of its time, there was only so much they can do, or they could only work with what they have, right?
I think Psycho's a good movie. I mean, there's a lot of people that think Psycho can be referenced as one of the more harmful films for trans identity. I don't want to invalidate anyone's feelings, but I think that's a bit of a stretch. Like, the film, for its time, I think is good.
It's certainly there to provoke. I don't think we should look into. No, I don't think you're problematic. I think we're talking about something like, what is the value of entertainment? Like, are we looking for validation from entertainment? Like, I mean, look, our current talks about like representation and like seeing ourselves on the screen is only happening post 2000. The
Right.
discussion has been happening, but if we were to look back at any time or any of the performances beyond that time, it's almost like we're looking for signs, or like we're just scrambling for clues to find ourselves in it. But it was a very different time, so we have to like kind of remind ourselves to like, hey, this was me missing back then. So maybe we
Right.
don't read ourselves too much into it. But I think like nowadays there's so much more diverse representation on screen, like pose, also like sex education. A lot of like modern media has like just like by default will kind of like have this like diverse voice built in,
Right.
which I don't know. There's more to say about if I like it or not, but I don't know. This movie.
You didn't like it? Is that what you just said?
I find it so distracting that Norman Bates was kind of hot.
Chap, you sound like those people that watch you and talk about how hot fucking what's his face is.
What's his name again?
Pen Badge Badgley? What's it?
No.
Yes, Pen Badgley, that's right.
Anthony Perkins.
Oh, you're talking about Norman Bates. I was talking about you on
Anthony
Netflix.
Perkins can get it. And he's gay. Do you know that he's gay?
Really?
He's gay. I think he is a full-time faggot. He has a secret relationship with Tab Hunter, who is known as like the heartthrob in the 60s to 70s.
What do you think about Janet Leigh being nominated, and Hitchcock being nominated, and whatever his name is not being nominated, Norman Bates?
Anthony Perkins. I think it was a political thing.
Yeah, for sure.
It was like, oh, what if, does that mean he also gets to be nominated for Best Actress?
I
I
can
feel
just
like
see all those
I
old white
can.
men sitting in a circle saying, well, do we have to nominate him for both?
I can totally hear. I feel like that was probably true. Look at us spreading misinformation.
I don't care.
But I'll just quickly end with my Anthony Perkins. He's hot, and I don't care about what you have to say about it. I feel like the scariest moment in the film was not the shower scene, but the dinner scene where Marion was like kind of probing, like kind of poking his buttons, and he leans in from his chair, and like the whole face dropped. You can see everything starting to turn, like take a dark turn. I
Right.
think that was like the moment I was like, holy shit, like this movie is kind of unnerving in that way.
No, I
Like
don't
in a
think the
more,
shower scene, I don't think the shower scene is the scariest part.
because we're not so used to seeing it, we kind of see it like being so like referenced so frequently. We don't really
Yeah,
like.
it's a trope now. Do you know that Janet Leigh couldn't shower for like years after this? She only took baths.
Damn, I was gonna say she must stink.
I think the scariest scene, I hold out for the scariest scene being the smile at the end, like the scariest
Yeah,
part of the film.
right. Like, but when I was watching it, I was kind of looking it through like a comedy lens too. I'm thinking about scary movies, right? Which I think they reference the shower scene really frequently, and like some kind of weird thing, like a comedy bit, kind of shows up. Anne
Right.
Ferris, which I think is just hilarious.
I haven't seen all of those movies.
Scary movies. Yeah. What do you have some concluding thoughts, or do you have like specific scenes that you want to highlight?
No, I think we covered all the scenes that stood out to me. It's hard to extend this to such a full discussion when she's literally in the movie for such a short period of time. So I was more interested in talking about how, gender representation in the film and how we feel
Yeah.
that.
Why
How we
like
feel about that.
how do you think gender kind of plays into it? Like, why is it Scream Queen? Like, what does it mean? Like, why is it not a Scream King? Not that that matters. Like why is horror and femininity has this long history together, do you think? Just like looking from this movie in itself.
I think it's the, I mean, I don't, I'm not educated on this subject at all, but I think it must be the whole sort of damsel in distress trope. It must be.
Right.
It must be. Like, in a patriarchal society, it must be like the woman who needs saving.
Right,
And
the
in
woman like
Psycho,
be punished.
the women are useless. They
I
are.
mean, like, think of it, like it's also about domesticity, right? Like they like Marion is getting all this money away to like fly into herself into this man and like this dream of like getting away, like
Right.
and then you have like Norman Bates' mother who's like also trapped in this house, like psychologically, but also I think through Norman Bates we see a different kind of like femininity or kind of different way of understanding like female life back then, woman's life back then.
I am
It's a little
interested.
constraining.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. What's concerning?
I feel like looking back from nowadays, I think like the scope of which they were able to like explore female characters is kind of limited, but I think as we kind of discuss more films, as we kind of move forward, we like see in a like intention of like the women's liberation movement and like the into like the more modern horror films that
Well,
talks
yeah,
about
that's what I
like
was gonna say. I'm
where a
interested
female is.
because, like, if this film was made today, like, I'm thinking about the end where Lila sees Norman coming to kill her. And, like, once
She
again,
kills
she's
him.
literally useless. But, like, if that were made today, like, she would be, like, the female heroine. So I'm interested to see along our journey how women in horror kind of change from being damsel in distress to starting as damsel in distress and then
The
fighting
final
back.
girl. The
Right,
final
literally the
girl. We have to
concept
talk
of
about where
final
the
girl.
final, like, we have to talk about like some point in the future episodes. Like, where does it begin? Like, how do we, like, where does the history of like the final girl started?
More research for us. We're so good with our research. We're so
We're so
diligent.
good. Sorry. I want to say something.
Okay.
I forgot. Totally forgot.
Word.
What's your letterbox rating for this film?
Of Psycho? Oh my
Yes.
God, I don't know. If you had asked me when I first saw it when I was like 11, it would have been a 5. But if you're asking me now, I don't know, it's tough. Like, I want to say like a 4. I don't think it deserves lower than a 4. I
Yeah,
want to say a
totally.
4, but also 4, I feel like maybe 4.5 just for the sake of how like revolutionary it was for its time.
Yeah. I feel like four is the base. It's kind of like the minimum. It's like
Yeah.
objectively just subject matter, but also like looking aside like the iconic status of it, but it's just like a good film in general.
Yeah.
I'm just reading something really funny, like a Letterboxd review saying, "I watched this with my mother."
Great.
I would never watch this with my mom.
Why?
Well, because she's too much woman for me. Just joking.
All
Well,
right.
thanks for tuning in for this week's Film Fatales.
Next week, we are looking at. Okay. We planned this out pre some Instagram content that's come to light, but we're looking at Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween.
Halloweener.
Halloweener,
I've
1978
never
film.
watched that.
Really?
I'm just watching it for the first time. We should talk
And
about
Jamie.
like what you pick up as like a repeated watcher and like as a first time watcher, like
Well, I'm
which
interested. Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time, but I'm interested in maybe if there's anything comparable with Janet Leigh and Jamie Lee Curtis, because this Jamie is her daughter, right?
interesting. Maybe there's some
And
interview that she kind of talks about it too.
also Jamie Lee Curtis, little Nepo baby. This is her film debut. This is her first movie
Oh,
ever.
really?
Yeah.
Was she acting any kind of like TV before?
She did TV. She did something in TV. I don't know what, but a couple years before,
Yeah. We'll
1977.
talk about like her acting career really shortly next week. Like, how did
Both of
she
her
get
parents
started?
were famous actors.
Girl, please.
Now she's an Oscar winner.
Oscar winner. Oh, I was gonna say, what if it's a modern remake of the Psycho with and like with Tu Wong Fu? So have you watched Tu Wong Fu?
No, I haven't, but I've wanted to for the longest time.
So it's listeners, if you get it, you get it. So it's Marion driving to a desolate town, and then she ends up meeting with these three drag queens in a town, and then they end up having this wonderful murderous friendship with each other. But I'm just living in my fantasy.
Oh my god, I'm looking at this Psycho remake that they literally made in 1998. Guess who plays Norman Bates?
It's Oz Perkins.
In the 1998 film remake? No, it's not.
Who is it?
Vince Vaughn.
Who the fuck is that?
You know who Vince Vaughn
really?
Is. That sounds so horrible. That sounds so, oh my god, I'm looking at his smile at the end. That is the funniest thing.
Can you send it to me?
I need to show you it right now, live on the pod. I don't care. I'm doing it. To talk to the people while I figure this out.
So while Chase is setting it up to show me his final image, you can follow us on Instagram at FilmFatalesPod for memes. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
You should keep that as your Zoom background.
Oh my god, I need to change it. I'm going to forget and then I'm going to go into a meeting. It's going to be horrible. Isn't that horrible?
That's actually more sinister.
And then Julianne Moore is Lila. Lila? Oh. Lila.
She better not die. But yeah, you can find us on
Anne Hesh. Do you know who Anne Hesh is? I don't.
No. I don't have no idea. But to wrap up our episode, you can follow us on Film Fatales Pod for memes, previews, just like content in general. You can also leave us a 5-star rating, only 5 stars, leave us a review. You can also get engaged with us. Tell us what films or actresses or actors you want us to take a look at anytime. So we'll be back next week with Halloween.
Great. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in. Goodbye.